take your Bibles, you can put your songbooks up. Go to James, James chapter 3, James chapter 3, in your song, in your songbook, in your Bible. James chapter 3. We'll read verses 3 through 8. I'll read verse 3, and you read verse 4 with me. James chapter 3, back there past Hebrews. James chapter 3 and verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And let's pray together. Father, as we come to your word, thank you that it has the answer for everything in our life. Lord, please feed us, help us, bless your word to our hearts, open it to us, help us apply it to our lives. And Father, thank you for it so much. Help me, please. Let this be a help to us as your people. And we'll give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. As you look at this chapter in James 3, look at verse 1. Ready? It says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." In other words, who's ever in charge is the one that's going to give an account. You shouldn't strive for a position of leadership or want to be in charge. If you're the one in charge, then you're the one that's going to answer to God for what's going on. The husband answers to God for what went on in the home. The leader does that. And he says, you shouldn't want to be a leader. You should want to do what God wants you to do. But don't strive to be in charge. Then look at the next verse. He says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and also able to bridle the whole body." In other words, sometime in your lifetime, you're going to say something that's going to hurt somebody. And if you give anybody enough time, they're going to say something that's going to hurt you, because it happens to everybody. And if that doesn't happen, if you've never offended somebody, it plainly says, well, then you're perfect, and we know nobody's perfect. And then he goes on to describe the hardest part, I think, of being a Christian is learning to control your tongue. And he's going to say why. And one of the most interesting, I think it's so helpful. Look at verse 3. Watch this. And I know we read it together, but he says, "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." What's a horse? 1,500 pounds if you're dealing with a Clydesdale, a ton and a quarter, 2,400-pound horse. Yet, a small member controls the whole body. And he's going to give you the same illustration. Now, this is going somewhere. Look at verse number 4. He says here, "Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." Everybody knows that's in the back of the ship, right? If you want to, it turns this way and moves the back of the boat. That whole tonnage of a ship, hundreds of tons, is steered with a very small member. What's one of the truths you can gain from this?
If you could control your tongue, you could control the rest of your body. And the key to living the Christian, one of the keys, I shouldn't say the only key, but the key, one of the keys to living the Christian life is if you could control your mouth, you could control other things. Okay, let me switch it. You ready? Stay with me. If you don't control your mouth, that's not the only problem you have. You let other things go too. You understand? That's not saying if you work at your mouth, you're perfect. There's nobody that's perfect. But people, if you want Christian character and you want to grow as a Christian, if you would work on your, this is what it says, if you would work on controlling what you allow yourself to say first, the rest of the body would fall in line. For instance, let me give you an illustration. If you have a hard time getting up in the morning when you're supposed to, if you would work at controlling your tongue, it is a saying your other habits will follow. It doesn't say you don't have to work on it. But when somebody goes, "Oh, I just have a hard time getting up. I just can't get up on time. I'd go to James 3. It's just a bad habit I have." If you have bad habits you wish you could change, if you would work at your tongue first and controlling what comes out of your mouth as a Christian, the rest of the body is steered by that little member. He goes on to say, nothing else in the Christian life will hurt others like this, what I say. The most damage I'll ever do to anybody is misconceptions and misunderstandings and not speaking when I've been not fully informed yet with this. I will apologize more in my lifetime because of this than I will of anything else. Watch verse, now that we've read verse 3 and 4, I know we've read this, I know we read it at the start, here we go, follow me through with it. Ready? Verse 5, "Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." And the tongue is a fire. I just think this is amazing. A world of iniquity. Not iniquity. It's a whole world. That's why to control the tongue is to control the body. When somebody says, "Well, I just have a temper problem. I just can't control my temper." If you would work at controlling what comes out of your mouth, your temper would follow. Let me say it again. I can swap this and say, if you don't work at what comes out of your mouth, that's you hurting people with your mouth is not the only problem you got. You got other issues too. Because it seems like, from what God's teaching us, everything is hinged on your character or ability to control your mouth. Right? Now, lost people, I don't expect a lost person to control their mouth. But in this, a whole chapter is given in the Bible about controlling this. Watch this. Verse 6. "A world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body." It'll wreck your whole life. "And setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell." If you just think into that, I've never seen hell. I'll only see hell. I've never felt its pain. But its suffering and its pain can be pictured with the damage you can do with the tongue. I've had people say things that cut me much deeper than if they would have just taken a knife and stabbed me. I'm not saying I want you to stab me. But everybody knows that's true. It takes a wound, I think, you know, if somebody did, I think it takes like 4 or 5 weeks to heal. People have said things that takes years to get over. That you deal with because of the, it is set on. It's just interesting how God tells us this: you'll do more damage with your mouth than you will anything else. You have to learn to control it. Verse 7, it says, well, look at verse 8, "But the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." It tells me this: nobody's mastered it. Some are better at it than others. And I will say this: you can tell who's working at it and who doesn't. But every one of us has to work at it and put forth effort. Verse 9, "Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which were made after the similitude of God. Out of the mouth of proceedeth blessing and cursing." And then he says this, "My brethren, these things ought not to be so. If you're a believer and you've placed your faith in Christ, he said, then you should have more good comes out of your mouth than bad. You should be blessing people more than people are hurt by your words. Right? My brethren, these things ought not to be so. If you're a brother in Christ and a believer, then keep on going. To the fountain, send forth the same place sweet water and bitter. Can the fig tree, my brethren, solve berries under a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Now, I'll close with the end of this chapter. Listen carefully as I read these verses. Now, let me give you what I think we're supposed to be striving for and what I as a Christian am supposed to be striving for. Psalm 35:28. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day. Psalm 51:15. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Psalm 71:8. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. You know, and if you, and for people that don't control their mouth, they're like, oh, they're just living on a cloud. Maybe they're trying to control what they talk about. I can find myself getting negative. I can find myself not being helpful with what I talk about. And then I need to rein myself back in and say, you know what? I need to be praising God more. And I need to be thanking God more all the day, because I don't do that. But it's something I'm supposed to strive for. How about this? Psalm 71:15. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. And Psalm 146:2. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. What a verse, right? So it's what I'm supposed to be doing, and it's a reminder to keep my mouth in check. As we read James 3, the tongue is so dangerous, and it determines the character of the whole body. To the degree you control your tongue is the degree you control the rest of you. This morning, I want to look at one word in the Bible. If you want to take your Bible, you can go to Proverbs chapter 1, and just let me lay a foundation here. I want to use one word. You go to Proverbs chapter 1, and then just listen to me carefully. The word scorner in the Bible is one who scorns, derides, mocks, and contempts. They are the closest word we use instead of scorn is critic, or a criticizer, or a fault finder. Now, if I mention, okay, this isn't to be confused with standing against wrong. If I mention that our government is making bad laws, it's to warn you of what's coming in the future so you aren't caught off guard. All right? In other words, I can point out evils, and that doesn't make me a scorner. I believe it's called warning God's people. I think the Lord has helped us very much through this COVID thing. God helped us stay ahead of the curve, I think. And we have not... Praise the Lord for His help and His guidance. But we have not hurt like other churches have. Other churches are suffering. They're trying to tell pastors, hey, you know, they're only dealing with a fraction of the people and all this stuff. I'm very thankful. The Lord helped us. I think there's more evil coming. And we'll just... I don't want to be too negative, but Joseph prepared the people. Amen? Joseph prepared as God helped him, and I think God's helped us. So, if the Constitution is being neglected by the powers that be, then the people should know that tyranny is on the horizon. All right, I don't have a problem with that. If I expose false teachers like Joel Osteen or Joyce Myers, or 1st and 2nd Timothy tell me to do that. A true preacher always warns and calls the names of false teachers and those that you're to beware of. Our society now, let's go back to scorning and criticizing. Our society is taught criticism and fault-finding from the media. There are very few editorials that report anymore. Most editorials and journalists are their own opinions. Facts are not, that's how come they're calling fake news. I'm amazed at how much the news manipulates. Why don't you tell the whole story? Well, no, we only tell, all you find out from the news is what they want you to know. You do not know the whole story unless you do your own research. But you want to take CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, you want to MSNBC, you want to take all those at face value, you're being lied to. Okay? Now, there are very few, I told you this, editorials that report. Most criticize because it sells better. If you just report the news anymore, your paper won't make it. Your program won't get its ratings. Criticism is fault-finding when you can't solve the problem. Most don't want to solve the problem because they're happy to be the critic. They walk into a room, they let everybody know what they think about the dirt that they find, but they'd never offer to come and help clean it. Right? That's a critic. A gossip is someone speaking of a problem, okay, that you can't solve or don't have the authority to solve. Learning not to gossip is saying, number one, I remember I was on a trip, driving me nuts. We were on a youth trip, and we were going to camp, and there were four buses. I was the third bus, and the other buses were, the guy in front of me wasn't, I was like, he's going the wrong way. I was told to follow the buses. We're going to camp. I was like, he's messing the whole thing up. I'm sitting here, the guy right next to me, I said, I can't, what a dork driver. How stupid can he be? And all of a sudden, I was reminded, you're not in charge of this trip. And I remember I was sitting in the bus seat and I got so convicted. And I remember it was like the Holy Spirit was saying, shut up. Who put you in charge? Hush your mouth. And I remember going, isn't that kind of stupid? Uh-oh. I remember that like it was yesterday. Before you open your mouth about a problem, are you in charge of fixing it? Are you going to give an account if it's not done right? Then why are you talking? Now, maybe that's just the Marine in me, but the military, then do what you're told. If Staff Sergeant so-and-so told you to do this and it's not supposed to be done, he's the one that's going to get nailed, not you. Yeah, man. Okay. Just learn to let it go. That's an art. I think that's an art. Why am I talking about this? Who's going to come to me asking me why it didn't work? Gossip is talking about problems that are not in your area of responsibility. Asking questions isn't gossip. Okay? Asking questions is normally very healthy for every Christian. What helps is when you put a question mark at the end of the question instead of an exclamation point. Right? It's all how you ask the question. It's not whether you're asking questions. You know, we're going to do this, aren't we, Pastor? You know, one of those things. You've heard me give that illustration. Let me tell you about scorning. First of all, you're in Proverbs chapter 1. Why do people scorn? Okay? How long, verse 122, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Do you see the part that says scorners delight in their scorning? When somebody goes, well, you know, so-and-so is doing this, oh, I didn't mean to say that. God says, yes, you did. You did too mean to say that. See, criticism, it helps. We'll come back to Proverbs because that's where we're going to spend our Bible study this morning. But can you keep your finger there and go to Luke chapter 6? Luke chapter 6, very helpful verse. Luke chapter 6. I was just going to read this to you, but I think every Christian should see this for themselves in the Bible. Luke chapter 6. Look at verse 45, Luke 6:45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Watch, it ought to be marked in your Bible. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. See, the problem with a gossip and the problem with a critic and the problem with a scorner, it's not their mouth, it's their heart. Because what comes out of your mouth was in your heart first. And you said it because that's what's in you. It's like, oops, slipped. it would be nice if you would be honest with yourself and say, you know what, that just revealed my heart. I not only shouldn't have said that, I need to be sorry that was in here, right? God says only our heart from here, because we're so broken, only from the heart comes pain and suffering to others, all right? Out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. Why do people criticize? Well, Proverbs 1 teaches us because they delight in their scorning. Go back to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. Look at verse 24. Now, I realize what I'm doing, you know, every once in a while I'll do a Bible study on a word that you could do. Scorner, scorning, scorneth. If you've never done a word study on it, you need to. Have you ever taken a word? Take the word prosper. What does God require to prosper you? Now, I don't think that just means by money, but it can be. Look up the word prosper and prosperity and notice all six times in the Bible and then just make a note. What does God say I have to do for him to prosper me? And make your notes. It's a wonderful Bible study. We're using the word scorner. We're going through this morning. Look at Proverbs 21:24. Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. This tells me this. Anytime you cut somebody down or speak bad about someone, it's because you feel you're better than they are. You're proud. That's why they do that. Or you want to feel more important than them, so you have to trash talk them to elevate yourself. That's pride. I need to lift myself up, so I'm going to do all I can to bring you down and point out any negatives or faults that you have. Take your Bible. You're in Proverbs. It says here at the end, who dealeth in proud wrath. They can't control their temper. Because they don't control their tongue, they don't control themselves. A scorner believes that it's okay to talk about bad things if they're inconvenienced enough. Well, you don't know what they did. Well, how come what they did controls you? You're supposed to control you, not them. So you're out of control, or you let others control you. That's because circumstances control them instead of the Word of God. Okay? Here we go. What are the consequences of being a scorner? Go to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. We'll come back to Proverbs. It's right before Proverbs. Go to Psalms. Psalm chapter 1. Look at the first verse in the book of Psalms. Psalm 1:1. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So I don't walk, and I don't get my counsel from ungodly people. Why would you let someone guide your life that doesn't go to church and doesn't go soul winning and doesn't love the Lord? Well, you know what I think you ought to do is, I don't counsel with the ungodly. I don't want to walk in the way of sinners. I don't go where they go. I don't go to nightclubs. I don't want to hang around where they hang around. I don't walk in the way of sinners. And the last one says, and I don't sit in the seat of the scornful. I don't want to just sit around and be critical. I don't want to do that. I believe they lose God's blessing. Blessed is the man that doesn't do these things, Psalm 1:1. Go back to Proverbs. Look at Proverbs 19:29. Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19. If the tongue, which it is, nobody can tame. It's just some Christians have worked at it long enough, they're better at it than others. But nobody masters it. There's no such thing as somebody, oh yeah, I know all about this. Yeah, I remember as a young Christian, I struggled with this. I got in victory. You can get victory over it, but you'll need victory again. Because all of us need to work at this. This is something that all of us have to keep in check. Look at verse 29 of Proverbs 19. 19:29, judgments are prepared for scorners and stripes for the back of fools. Judgments. Judgment comes from God. They're prepared special judgments. I've watched critical people, God interferes with their life in a very notable way. You're in Proverbs 19. Go to Proverbs 14. Look at verse 6. Proverbs 14, verse 6. What's the consequence of being a critic? Why do I not want to be a critic? I can't get the blessings of God. I don't want God's judgments in my life. Look at Proverbs 14, verse 6. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. But knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. You know what's unique? It's been so amazing in 35 years and being in church, and the Lord's helped me serve him. I've been in churches where there were some of the most critical people I've ever been around in my life. And boy, you could preach a whole sermon like this and they never get it. I mean, that's for everybody but them. And I'm sitting here, we went over to, you've heard me tell the story. We went over to one lady's house, and this was at another church, and this was several churches ago. And boy, she started opening her mouth, and the filth that came out of her mouth, I'm not talking cussing. It was just critical gossip stuff. And then I just stood there, you know, I was the new guy, I was the new assistant pastor, and my wife and I got back in the car, and I said, I don't think we'll be spending a lot of time with them. That lady's been doing that a long time. Men can be critical too, okay? But it says here, a scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. That means they read their Bible, but they can never apply it to their life because of their criticism. They come to church, they hear preaching, but they don't ever get anything from the preaching because they're a critic. They think wisdom is a good thing, but they can never lay hold on it because their criticism stops them. It's like criticism puts a coating over your mind and nothing good goes in from that point on. It's like you're shielded from all of this. That's Proverbs 14:6. I think a very helpful verse. Go to Proverbs 24. Look at verse 9. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 9. Watch this. Now, once again, I wish you would use, I think Proverbs should be studied. I think Proverbs should be read every day. But there's reason God uses specific words. Take that word, go through the Bible and make your own notes and let God teach you from the Bible. Look at Proverbs 24, verse 9. The thought of foolishness is sin. Watch. And the scorner is an abomination to men. You want to know the reason? I want to work at my mouth. I want to work at not being a critic. I want to work at not scorning. Because they're an abomination. People don't like a critic. You can only, it's like when you're around them and you leave their presence, all you want to do is spit. It's like, yeah. I don't want to be that type of a person that is known as a critic. They're an abomination. We had one lady that worked on staff at a church where we were at. And man, every person I try to get back into church, they go, same question. Is so-and-so there? And I would say, yeah, they work with the school now. Oh, we were there when she was blah, blah, blah. And then she is the gossip of the church. And I was like, okay, that's one person. You go around about 4 more months later. Hey, why don't you come back? Oh, you used to go. Why don't you come on back? Is so-and-so there? Yes. Where? I'd say she works in the school. Oh, she's the gossip of the church. And then it would go on. I was like, oh, that's two. Another 5, 6 months. I heard her name over and over again. She was the scourge of the church. And she was on staff. She was a paid church member. You understand? Gossip of the church. People hate scorn. You know why? Because whenever you get around somebody that'll criticize others to you, when you leave, they criticize you to others. It's their character. It's what they do. It's what they are. And it's like, wow, if you're just wagga 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 Pac-Manning, I mean, you're here, you have no control. You don't control it either when I'm not around. How about this? Go to Proverbs, you're in 24, go to Proverbs 22. Look at verse 10. Okay? Proverbs chapter 22. Look at verse 10. Watch. Cast out the scorner and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. There have been some people, I can tell you as a pastor, as I've been a pastor, there have been some people in our church that, I mean, everywhere they went, the contention, it was just like, and of course, it's always everybody else's fault. And I want to say, have you ever analyzed this? Have you ever noticed everywhere there's a skirmish, you're the main ingredient? You're the common denominator? Have you ever maybe it might not be everybody else's fault. Maybe it might be you. You ever hear that, you know, that story of the person that had Limburger cheese under their nose and they went outside, you know, and they were like, man, it smells out here. Then they went to the store and it's like, man, this place stinks. Then they went to their workplace and it's like, man, this office smells horrible. Then they went home and they're like, man, what's going on around here? Problem wasn't where they were at. They were the problem. The place stunk because of them. You ever been around somebody like that? If you cast out the scorner, yeah, it hasn't happened all the time, but we have had a person or two that has left our church that, I can tell you this, as a pastor, I breathed easier. I was like, and when they leave, it's like, whew, wow, Spirit sure is sweet in here. Amen. But it wasn't while they were here. I hope I'm not that way. I hope when I leave, people go, whew, man, glad he's gone. I hope I affect an area good. I hope I'm a blessing to people. I don't want to, if you get rid of me, it's like, wow, we can finally live life. But there are people like that. Here we go. Cast out the scorner. Here we go. Look at Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1. Ready? A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. You can't correct him. As a matter of fact, I'm going to show you the next two verses. They not only won't be corrected and can't be, but if you do, they hurt you. They turn on you. So you can't point out to them. I remember, I appreciate Rich Stoltz. He's in heaven now. He had a heart attack a couple years ago, but I used to go to work with him. And I remember he'd pick me up every day in Bible college on the way to the fab shop. And I remember one day I got critical. I can get nasty. I can just sit on, it's a world of iniquity, right? I'm not perfect. But I remember I was sitting in his vehicle and I was like, blah, 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 and I don't like, and I can't, rah, 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 and it just went on. Finally, we were halfway to work and he goes, you know, I don't think we should be talking about that as Christians. And I went, you're right. You know what? He was a real friend and I'm glad I could be corrected. But a true critic and a scorner of somebody that's not in check with their mouth, it says, you can't, they won't listen to a rebuke. They won't, they're like, nothing wrong with what I'm saying. Watch this. Watch how dangerous it gets. You're in Proverbs chapter 13. Go to Proverbs chapter 9. I'll show you two verses. Okay? Proverbs chapter 9. Look at verse 7. Ready? He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. You say, well, they just need somebody to talk to them. Some people don't. Some people are so given to what they're doing, you need to just leave them alone. And God says, can you be led of the Holy Spirit to tell the difference? Look at the next verse. Look at verse number 8. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. You better have the wisdom to, whether, okay, I'm glad Rich could open his mouth to me and say, you know, we shouldn't be talking about that. We need to rein it in. Thank you, Rich. I need to get right with God. I need to not do that. You correct a real critic, and they'll hate you for it. Who do you think you are, as if you're perfect? You know, yeah, they always fire that back. Lest they hate thee. Look at one more. Go to Proverbs 15:12. Watch this. Along this, while you're going to Proverbs 15, my dad always said, in your lifetime, you'll have maybe 5 friends that love you enough to correct you. Most people, they won't risk the conflict. But if you ever can find somebody that'll say, that's not right, we shouldn't do that. My dad said, you prize them. Because that's true love. And they'll be a friend to you forever. If they're willing to point out what's wrong, just between you and them, they don't gossip about you. But my dad always said, mark that person as a true friend. Look at Proverbs 15, verse 12. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. So, anybody who rebukes or corrects a critic is considered the enemy. Well, they're just ganging up on me. It's not my fault. I'm the victim here. Really? Their mind is damaged. They've been negative so long, they don't see that they're the problem. They won't listen to a rebuke. God says, the only thing you can do with somebody like that is you just steer clear of them. They're not going to change. Well, they just need somebody to sit down and show them the Bible. No, it's not going to work. There's some people you can't talk to. They're not changing. And if you do, you'll hurt yourself. You get yourself a blot. They'll hate you. You'd be better off just keeping your mouth shut. You steer clear. You get away from them. How about this? Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Ready? I think this is probably one of the scariest verses. How come I need to work on my criticism? Okay? Why do I need to work at my mouth? Why do I need to work and be careful what I talk about and control what I talk about? Look at Proverbs 3. Look at verse 33. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. I want my house to be blessed. I want my home to be blessed. Look at verse 34. Surely he, the Lord, scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. God says, if you become a critic and you're nasty and you're negative, he becomes your critic. He scorns or criticizes the critic. That's what it says, right? You know, out of all the people I want criticizing me, I don't want God, who knows everything about me, criticizing me. Because everything he says is true. Don't you take the path. You better watch what comes out of your mouth. Because the last person you want criticizing you is God. Do you want God spreading what he knows about you is real? Or do you want his mercy and his grace? What a verse. I could sit and think about that for hours. Lord, help me control what comes out of my nasty mouth. It's set on fire of hell. Okay, so what's the cure? Ready? Here we go. Let me see here. Let's go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. I think, for me to give up my cussing when I got saved, I memorized verse after verse on swearing. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that administer grace unto the hearers. Let thy grace be always with seasoned with salt. The verse that we're getting ready to read, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Let the words of my mouth, I think memorizing scripture would help. It gives you a power that's within. God helps you. Memorize Bible verses on controlling. What else can you do to help? I think Psalm 19, look at verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Have you ever prayed about your mouth? Lord, help me say things that are pleasing in your sight. Lord, help me not to say things that are wrong. Lord, I pray that before I preach. Lord, help me not to say what I want said. Lord, help me to give the people what will help them. They don't need me. They need the Bible. Amen. Let the words of my mouth and what I think about be acceptable in thy sight. I hope God's pleased. Pray about it. Confess your faults. And then let's end this with James. Go back to James chapter 3. The whole chapter is about, I think it's just amazing, it's the one chapter in the Bible that is on the tongue. And it says, if you could get a hold of your mouth, and if you could be a spirit-filled Christian in what you talk about, the rest of your habits and body will follow. And it'll help you so much. It strengthens you. When I get questions, man, have I got some bad habits. How do I get rid of them? I go to James chapter 3. Get your mouth under control. Give God your mouth, your tongue. Yield yourself to him. Okay? Now, look at James chapter 3. Look where we ended. Watch this, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation or lifestyle his works with meekness of wisdom. Verse 14, here it comes. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. He said, if you don't, the wisdom that comes from above teaches you to control what you talk about, but where there's strife and envy, he said, that comes out of hell. Because I have the next verse in my Bible marked, underlined all the way through. Watch. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. What a verse. Anytime you find bickering and fighting going on all the time, yelling, there's more problems than that. That's happening on the outside, but it's a revealer of what's happening on the inside. And if they're fighting in the open like that, what's going on in the bitterness and strife? Wow, what a verse. Ready? Watch this. Then he's gonna switch now, and God's gonna say, you need to be able to recognize, because there's some Christians, they'll criticize in the name of Christianity. You ever heard this one? You know, we need to pray for so-and-so because they're drinking and doing drugs. Okay, you didn't have to say that. You could have said, why don't you just pray for so-and-so? They're struggling. But you didn't have to name it. So you used your Christianity to be a gossip. God won't bless that. That's flesh. You should be able to recognize that is not Christianity. If somebody has a prayer request, why would you spread it to every... Can you imagine going to every person in the church? Yeah, so-and-so, really, boy, they blew it Friday night. Got trashed. I had to take them home. Yeah. Yeah. Got them out of jail. Pray for them. Then you do that to every person in the church? Imagine what happens when they come to church the next time. Everybody's going, glad you got out of jail. Ah! Have you ever heard that? What I'm trying to point out to you is... they're using a guise of spirituality to cover up their flesh. Pray for them. And then they spread the filth. And then that person, man, they're a long time recovering after that. You should be able to recognize that. Let's close with this. Look at the last two verses in the chapter. Ready? Watch this. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. Look at all these traits. Gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The whole chapter closes with, you better learn to recognize who uses their mouth in a wise way and who uses it in a foolish way, and you keep away from the fools, or they will destroy you. You'll learn how they talk, and before you know it, you'll be wrapped up in what, and you'll become what they are. Stay away from them. Stay away from them. I, as a Christian, want to work at my tongue. You know, it's wonderful. I'm going to close with this. It's wonderful preaching a message like this, when right now, I don't know if we have a problem with criticism in our church. I don't think we do. As a pastor, I watch everything, and as best I can tell, we don't have a problem. There was nobody I was shooting for this morning. Amen? I don't do that. And if I did have a critic in the church, I'd handle it totally different. I wouldn't preach a sermon. I'd go to them. And it'd just be them and I. I don't use the pulpit as a whipping post. Amen? So right now, it's wonderful to preach a sermon like this. All of us need safeguards. Amen? Keep us going. Keep ourselves in check. Myself included. I hope it's a help to you. Let's pray. Father, please... use this. I know, Lord, I have not arrived, I have not attained, and I have so much to work on.